Many of you know that I've been working on urban gardens for more than 30 years and care about these things. We had a whole new way of coming back to this in 1999 when the Food and Drug Administration found some highly lead contaminated carrots that happened to have been produced on orchard soils. And they can trace back processed carrots, so Food and Drug asked ARS to tell us, how does that happen? Actually, Eaton Codling began his ARS career working on that particular problem. And this is really Eaton's data, Zia's data. And Eaton was doing another paper, so I wanted this to be presented this year, so I volunteered it. But Eaton led the project, the practical parts of the project. One of the important, when we look at the fullness of lead uptake by crops, we find big differences between root vegetables. For instance, in both work that I'd done on carrots and Brian Davies, carrots grown in urban garden soils can be quite high in lead. But on the other hand, when Eaton tested potatoes, or some other people tested potatoes versus carrots, they found almost no accumulation on substantially contaminated soils of lead into the peeled potatoes. Even the peel of potatoes is hardly contaminated at all compared to carrots. And in the orchard study, this is Codling et al. Submitted paper, soils from Maryland, orchard soils from Maryland, New York, Michigan, and Washington. I show the total lead and then the carrot lead. And when you look at the peeled root compared to the peel, it's obvious it wasn't just contamination of the peel. This was, to me, this was extremely frustrating. I presumed originally this is just contamination of soil on the peel. Wasn't that way at all. On the other hand, lead does move up to the shoots, and we all know that, I'm just going to skip past that. We all know that carrots have a xylem that grows through the middle of the carrot. And so we hypothesized that the lead in carrots is really stuck in the xylem. Now, how can we show that? We can show it with excess. Kirk and Jim showed us a lot of knowledge about what we can do to understand these processes. So we collaborated with Kirk, and he did the excess localization, which we'll show you some beautiful pictures today. But we wanted to do very good agronomy on this. We got old orchard and old garden soils. We used large pots to minimize pot size effect on lead uptake. Make sure we had adequate fertilizers to grow healthy carrots. We shipped fresh carrots to Sheckel when he was at Argonne so we could process them essentially immediately. And then he did excess on cross sections. Here's a picture of carrots from that kind of experiment. We used a standard kitchen peeler, removed the peel layer. And again, we all know carrots have a central core or xylem area, and maybe it can be different than the rest of the carrot. So here's a picture of a carrot in the sense of doing the XF cross section. You only do a certain amount in 6 or 8 hours, even with 0.5 second integration on these 20 micrometer steps. But you can get a good picture, and that's what this shows. This is really the bottom line. The xylem area, all up in here, and here's where our really high lead, in the urban garden soil, we don't have nearly as much, even though we did have a fairly strong contamination of the soil because we had less uptake. The pulp area, or what we, the more orangey area in most carrots, has almost no lead, and that's what we expect for phloem-fed tissues like potatoes or like the outside part of the carrot. Look at another element here, zinc. Maybe a little bit more zinc in the xylem area here, but it's no big difference between the treatments. The urban garden soil actually has a lot more zinc. I showed iron as well just for information. We've got half a dozen other elements. They don't show any practical difference, and we wouldn't expect them to. We hand separated the phloem area, the xylem area, and the peel, and analyzed those from the same set of carrots that Kirk did the XFs on. And you'll see here again, the xylem area, it can be extremely contaminated. In this case, the orchard soil carrots were small enough that it was just not practical to do that same separation. So we'll probably grow them again so we get really big carrots. We had a scheduled time in Argonne. We had to get the carrots there, and by God, they weren't big enough. So that's what we analyzed, the same exact carrots that Kirk was going to do the excess on. He did attempted speciation, all that nice fancy stuff we all know about. Compare it with standards. And we cannot unequivocally identify the form of lead in the carrot xylem. Maybe it's bound by organic acids or cell walls, but there's no evidence that it's pyromorphite that I had originally hoped it might be. Bioavailability is also important when talking about food. People eat lead, soluble lead mixed with a meal has 5 to 10% bioavailability. And two human feeding studies were done with lead isotope incorporated into a sheep liver or kidney or spinach. In the case of spinach, they couldn't get it to take up without directly by root uptake, so they actually cut the stem and stuck the stem in the lead isotope and then fed the lead to the humans. That's not a very reliable test from my point of view, but it still shows a low bioavailability of plant-borne lead compared to EPA's assumptions, again, of 60% for food and 30% for soil. So that's another reason why Dr. Zia mentioned that we really don't believe that the 500 ppm lead soil comprises any risk from any crop. Ganga Hirachi has been doing some interesting field studies on urban gardens, and she gave me these slides. Here's Swiss chard in relation to extractable phosphorus in real garden soils. And with compost or no compost, you see a lot lower concentration where compost has been applied, and part of it at least is attributed to the phosphate. Same with carrots. You contribute some of the reduction to the compost. Zia showed Codlings in our data the big picture, and that is that the assumptions that have been made by everybody on risk of urban soils are overstated. We developed our coral, our calibration entirely on the Joplin human-fed soils. All the other data are made to fit the Joplin soils. We need, you know, another 20, 50 soils fed to humans. We'll call you up and ask you to volunteer. But we got to get somebody who will pay to do the human studies. But we really need more fed soils because millions of people garden in highly lead-contaminated soils all across the country and around the world. This is an important public question. Mrs. Obama wants us all to garden. We all like to garden. And yet we can't get the federal government to decide what to do. And so we keep telling people it's above 400 ppm. Don't let your children near it, don't garden in it, build a raised bed garden, remove the soil, put in gravel, and on and on. Quick summarizing, urban soils are frequently contaminated, some extremely contaminated. Carrots and low-growing leafy vegetables are contaminated when they're grown in those soils. When they're highly contaminated, we have to avoid growing these crops. We just have a whole suite of radish, carrot, beet, turnip, and so on. We just have to give those up along with the leafy vegetables. It's in the xylem. Because the xylem runs through the carrot, it's in the carrot. We don't have the chemical species, as I said. I don't want to spend a long time. The first limit on garden soil really is protecting children from exposure to lead you've drugged back into your home. It's not plant uptake of lead, even though that's what I was talking about today because it became our problem. I mentioned the EPA HUD numbers, 400 for bare soils. And Zia mentioned that clearly we've shown that that is inappropriate for urban soils or most urban soils, particularly garden soils. After we protect children, then we have to worry about food. And again, there are some foods, garden foods, we're going to have to give up on more contaminated soils or remove or put in raised bed gardens. But I think the clear evidence of low bioavailability of garden soil lead means that we may have a lot more safety in this practice than everybody is presuming today. With this great interest in urban gardening, I'd like to see the science become the basis for our public advice. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lopez.
We have time for questions.
Yes, we have time for questions.
Sally? She's asking about bioavailability of crop lead tested as opposed to assumed. And other than that one spinach feeding study, there's no record in the literature.
Have you done any modeling of a dietary burden?
No. But clearly the small amounts in the gardens at the 400 or 500 ppm level, the small amount in crops does not add to usual ingestion rates. When you got 1,500 in soils, then you're going to be having a significant increase in dietary. But I think because of the bioavailability business of food versus water, we really need to do some feeding studies with carrots or lettuce or other accumulating foods. Carl?
Yeah, so the statement that's often made about peeling carrot roots.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. The old advice about carrots was always dead wrong.
Okay.
And even though I even wrote it myself once.
It may be wrong about lead, but it was right about a variety of other things.
Yeah, yeah. However, a home cook usually uses a brush to wash the soil off. And except for these extreme mine waste kind of soils, that contribution was small in the peel layer, both potatoes and carrots. Just the carrots are quite a bit higher in lead than potatoes.
How high is too high for carrots?
I can't comment. I mean, we need more human feeding studies of soil. Soil to children determines what we are going to allow or what we're going to recommend to people. Not carrots. My own feeling is that above about 1,500 ppm, we got to give up on anything except grain and fruit. Above 500, I would advise people to restrict their production of low-growing leafy crops, strawberries, and root vegetables that have an internal xylem.
So it's above the ingestion.
Yeah. The warning is always based on soil ingestion, and some of that is excessive concern, but based on bioavailability. Jim?
Well, when you look at it the other way, you're asking a question about diet, you know, versus consumption of soil. Consumption of soil is the number that's in the soil. We might argue a bioavailability of soil, that number may be different. But that number doesn't consider dietary exposure. And in dietary exposure, the question would be, and I don't know the answer, would you be concerned about just the child, or would you be concerned about lifetime exposure to an adult or a different infant than you were with the child?
He's asking about age effect on absorption of lead.
What the endpoint might be, what would be the health risk associated with it?
First, children have a higher ingestion rate per kilogram body weight, presumed higher sensitivity, therefore a child rules all lead issues. Now, there's another half of this, and that is that a child eating adequate and large amounts of homegrown vegetables is going to have so much better nutrition and reduced bioavailability of soil lead that he's better off eating crops grown in a less clean soil than having not so much good vegetables in his diet. Yeah.
For a child would be much shorter for that endpoint that you're after in a child than it would be for a lifetime exposure for an adult. So what's the endpoint that you're going to use?
Lifetime exposure for the adult is trivial from food lead. Trivial. Absolutely not part of any health risk consideration. Industrial exposure is the only thing that's concerned for adults. And soil is really the child less than 2.5 years old who has the most mouthing behavior.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So you're only concerned about the exposure from diet for 2.5 years?
Honestly, yes. But policy hasn't adopted those views that you and I have proposed.
I understand. But the amount you would expose a child to, under 2.5, to garden fruits or garden vegetables.
The hard part for me on that is that you go and garden and drag dirt back in the house. So our first advice is keep the dirt out of your house.
That's a different exposure than the diet.
Yeah.
A child is not exposed.
Thank you, Rufus.